Welcome to Hillhurst United Church, the podcast. We're really glad you're here. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, join us on the journey.
You get a sense, though, of what's in the book. And what we're going to do, just so you know, for the reflection, there'll be a short scripture, short reflection, and it's an Isaiah hymn. Okay, so that's the pattern. Suzanne's going to help me. Here we go.
All right. I just feel like I've had biblical whiplash. Good morning again. Today we will hear three passages from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke in the 8th century BC. His writings are more familiar than we often think and are the basis of many of our hymns. The name Isaiah literally means God is salvation, which is rooted in salve, like a healing salve. This is healing both individually and communally. How do we heal? Isaiah speaks reflecting his own name in words of healing. Here are first texts, Isaiah 43, verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers. They shall not overwhelm you when you walk. Through the fire you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you.
I have a friend, a mentor, who told me the only reason he goes to church is to remember. I don't know why you go to church. Some people say they come to church to recharge or fill up or to pray or to meet other people. But I think Garth's words, I come to church to remember who I am, is important. There's something about coming in here and sitting in these pews that hopefully through the words and music and silence, you remember who you are. Because the world is so full of itself telling you who you should be. And there are so many distractions, whether it's social media or advertising or family or friends or groups. They're always telling you who you should be. But the gift of good religion is to remind us, who am I? And so it's always my hope in our worship that at some point along the way, you're reminded who you are. We see this most fully in Jesus' baptism. When the heavens open and he hears the words, you are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. And every bit of every worship service should remind you that you are a beloved child of God too. This past week on Wednesday evening at the gathering service, encourage you to come. Alan Frank spoke a testimonial talking about who he was. He was trying to talk about who he was, but not talk about what he does. He talked about it this way: I'm a guy trying to unlearn to create space to learn again. I'm a guy who experiences incredible moments of angst and anguish, and then beautiful moments of brilliance and presence and understanding that teach me. He goes on and on to say about how risk is important. I am a guy trying to show up. I'm a guy trying to risk to be curious. I'm a guy trying to be open-minded. I'm a guy trying to let go. And all of that, he says, coming to this church and hearing the words, your love forgiven and set free, helps him to know who he is and whose he is. Isaiah's writing in this text talks about the fact that we're all called by name. Imagine, if you will, that the creator of all knows your name. And in knowing your name, loves you into being. We're all called to remember who we are and whose we are. I invite you to remain seated as we sing two verses of this song.
Thank you.
next passage is most familiar to us from Handel's Messiah. It calls for comfort in times of struggle. Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, why shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fail, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.
This piece in Handel's Messiah, comfort, comfort my people. Do you know the word comfort, what it means? We often think it's a warm blanket, but the word comfort, comfort, means this, with strength. Think about it, comfort is with strength. It's not a cozy blanket, it is actually an invitation to descend to our core and discover our strength. Comfort, strength. For me, whenever I'm going into a difficult situation, whether it's a meeting at work or in my community, or a house or a hospital, or a difficult conflict, I have a few words, and they are simply these, God be with me. And I say it over and over as I walk up the steps or stand in the elevator. And they are a reminder that at my core and at your core, there is strength. And that strength is called God. And she will be there to hold you, to stand firm, facing whatever conflict you may be in. God is the giver of comfort, strength. The second thing I love in this passage is this phrase, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. It speaks to the cycle of life that we're now seeing things emerge from the ground. The consistency of that cycle is important in my life and yours. The word standing forever, I think, is a play on words. The word should be a capital W. The word stands forever. And that word is the word we celebrate at Christmas, the word made flesh who dwells among us. And yes, I believe and trust in all world religions, but for Christians, the word made flesh is that the word of Jesus, who Jesus was, what he said, what he did, the parables, all he did is a word. And the word is a word grounded in love. You see, every week when I say we're loved, we're forgiven, and we're set free, I'm reminding you of the word of Jesus. And inviting that word to come over you and in you and to be the comfort, the strength that allows you and I to move forward. That is the word that's in your body. May it come alive in your living. I invite you to this song.
Thank you.
passage is also familiar, as it is in both Isaiah and the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Speaking of a new day coming, here we see God's vision of newness on the horizon. It is hopeful, calling us forward in trust. Isaiah 65:17-25. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, and they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still sleeping, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
This third reflection is for you to finish. Because when you see those words of Isaiah that are hundreds of years old and you open your newspaper or watch your news, you yearn for that kind of lion and lamb laying down, for that kind of longevity of life that lives 100 years. And what we know from our Jewish Christian scriptures is that God is up to something new, even though in our wildest, often demonic ways of living, we harm each other. God yearns and deeply calls for peace for all, in one land, one globe. The truth of our life is often we prefer the old than the new. I do. I sure wish we could still have duchies, but they're gone. We all know that we say we like change, but we really don't. But in this text, we see a God who yearns for people to accept that change, to be that voice, whether it's on a campus or a street corner or a church or a courtroom, that calls for the lion and lamb to be at harmony and for peace to come. That burden lays upon each and every one of us to call for that kind of living and that kind of leadership. Right in this very church right now, we're back in what I call liminal space as Andrea leaves and we again step into a new way of living and being. And that space is okay for us, even though it is uncomfortable at times. Because the good news comes for me when I remember that 18 people have come in and through these doors and out into the world to transform that world. Her time among us and our time among us is what matters most. And so in this space, we have to trust that there is a new beginning coming. Behold, I am creating all things new. I have no idea what that will be. We will work together. We will question together. We will be curious together. But it won't just be about this church, my friends. It'll be about the people who come and go to seek to live that transformative love in the world. I met this week with the former chair of our board who watches online on occasion but rarely comes right now. I said, tell me about that. He said, you need to know that Hillhurst United Church shaped me and my leadership in the business I run in the city. What we say and what we sing matters, and it sticks whether I'm here or not. And so I thank you for this church and what it has been and what it will always be. And I know you'll welcome me back in my pew when I decide to venture in. But right now, I'm on my bike. So whether Hillhurst is a hub or a home or a house, the question is, who will we become? How will we listen to the Spirit and see what she is calling us to? Behold, all things will be made new. May we dare to trust that the Spirit is calling us to something new, whatever that is. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hillhurst United Church, the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and are thinking about someone who might enjoy it too, we invite you to send it their way and help the podcast grow. We're really glad you're here, and we'd love to know what you thought about today's sermon. Leave us a review in iTunes or send us an email at communications@hillhurstunited.com. We'd love to hear from you.